Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah. Welcome to a new week. It is April 8th, 2018, the second Sunday in Easter. I hope that you had a wonderful and blessed Easter and Easter week, and now we are into the season of Easter. So, you know, kind of like Christmas that has a season, you know, for the secular world, it's just the holiday, but for the church world, we have a season associated with the holiday. So Easter, actually, the season of Easter is 50 days long because Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. So we go from Easter until Pentecost. And that is the season of Easter, where we talk about the resurrection accounts. We get the texts of Jesus appearing to the disciples in the various Gospels. The second Sunday in Easter is always the same Gospel text every year. It is the Doubting Thomas story, which we will be talking about on the second part of this week's episode, and that will be on Wednesday. Today we'll be talking about the first two lessons assigned for this week, and if you remember from previous years in the lectionary cycle for the season of Easter, rather than an Old Testament lesson, we get we get readings from the book of Acts, and Acts is the book that is basically the second half of the Gospel of Luke, written by the same person, and tells the story of the new church, of the disciples going out into the world. So that's why we read those, we read from the book of Acts during the season of Easter, as the disciples are telling others about the good news of the resurrected Christ and all the things that they saw and heard and witnessed during their time with Jesus. So we will have a reading today from the book of Acts and the Psalm, rather than an Old Testament reading and the Psalm. We'll have from the book of Acts and the Psalm. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and get to those readings. So the first lesson for today comes to us from the book of Acts. You probably gathered that since I've said it about 15 times. It's chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, and those verses are as follows. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Again, that is Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, and here we are getting a bit of a description of the early church. So, the apostles, with great power, in verse 33, it says the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So that's really the reason that we read from the book of Acts during the season of Easter, because the apostles, the disciples, the followers of Christ are going out into the world to give their testimony of the resurrection, of their time and experiences with Jesus. These verses give a description of at least part of the community, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. This is very socialist. No one is claiming any private ownership or of any possessions. Everything is held in common. It's kind of an idealized view of the early church that, you know, when people live in community, it's never quite as peaceful and idyllic as these verses make it out to be. hopefully it was. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to that. But when I read these verses, I wonder just how, you know, you would hope that the words of the apostles swayed people to want to do this. You know, they were filled with grace. There was great power upon them, and no one felt the need to be greedy. They felt that they could share all of their possessions in common so that no one was in need. It's definitely an idyllic community, and, you know, not 100% sure how accurate it might be, or if it is, again, more idealized. So we do want to look at a little bit of commentary. And this week, the commentary I'm looking at comes from Greg Carey, who is the professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he says that these three verses in Acts 4, 32 through 35, I guess it's four verses, excuse me, provides the second snapshot of the believing community. We encounter the first in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, which follows immediately upon the Pentecost outbreak and Peter's first great sermon. The Revised Common Lectionary, which is that three-year cycle that we go through, invites us to consider both snapshots in the context of Easter, not Pentecost. So Acts 2, 42 through 47 occurs on the fourth Sunday of Easter year A. We're currently in year B, so year A was last year. So we did read those verses. If you are a part of a lectionary reading church last year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, you know what? Let's go ahead and read those verses just to see what the first snapshot tells us about this new community, this believing community after the resurrection. So here are those verses again from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So that's the first snapshot that we get of the new community following the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of similarities, you know, with this kind of idyllic life together in community, this sharing of all possessions in common. They are spending a lot of time together in the temple. They're eating together, and we've talked before on this podcast, if you are a regular listener, how important who you ate with was in this society. So eating together is a huge, it's a huge act in this society. Who you ate with said a lot about who you were in that society, and people definitely judged you by who you ate with. So they broke bread at home. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts, etc. You get another description of this community. So Acts provides a framework for the question, according again to the commentator, Greg Carey, the question of what does an Easter church look like? He says that Acts provides a framework for this question. First, he says Acts joins Paul and the author of John in linking the gift of the Spirit with the resurrection. Paul claims, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." And that is from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Paul also refers to first fruits of the Spirit in Romans 8, 23, just as he speaks of Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits of those who have died in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 23. In John's gospel, he goes on to say, "It is the risen Jesus who breathes the Spirit upon his followers." Acts places 40 days to pass between the resurrection and Pentecost, tempting us to separate the two, but Jesus' promise to the disciples in Acts 1:8 a passage often regarded as a preview of the entire narrative, links the Holy Spirit with power, as does Luke 24, verse 49. Sure enough, Peter's Pentecost sermon identifies the Spirit as a gift bestowed upon Jesus through his resurrection and ascension, Acts 2, verses 32 through 33. So this gives us this framework, the first part of a framework in which we answer the question, what does an Easter church look like? Well, in Acts, as well as in letters that Paul wrote and the Gospel of John, an Easter church is linking, it has a lot to do with the Spirit of Jesus. And of course, after Jesus's death and resurrection and ascension, he did promise that Holy Spirit to come to the disciples so that they wouldn't be alone, that they would have an advocate. And we are going to talk more about the Spirit and the advocate and Jesus' promises to his disciples and us, but we are going to take our first break of the podcast. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are looking this episode at the first two of four assigned lectionary texts for the second week of Easter, and that is April 8th this year. And so we're looking at the first two today on Sunday and the second two on Wednesday when we'll look at the New Testament text and the Gospel. So we have been talking about the text from Acts, and we'll be looking at the Psalm here in a few minutes. The commentary that we were talking about before the break links this, what is an Easter church, with the Spirit, which of course is also linked to Pentecost. But Pentecost in our celebration hasn't happened yet. It has happened in the book of Acts. So this is, there's a link between the Spirit and this new church. And that is important because, of course, Jesus promised that Spirit to the disciples so that they would not be alone. They would have an advocate in Jesus's absence. And so then second, the commentator says in Acts, the church not only continues the ministry of Jesus, it amplifies it. Time and again, Jesus's followers repeat Jesus's great deeds and undergo his experiences. Jesus' ministry begins with the Spirit's descent at his baptism, and Acts gets underway when the Spirit rests upon the believers in the retelling of the Pentecost story. So you get that they are continuing Jesus' ministry. They are amplifying Jesus' ministry, and the Spirit has a lot to do with this. Then there's the larger thematic issues, of course, and that is this what this community looks like. He says, the larger thematic context proves critical for the interpretation of both the text from Acts 2 and the text from Acts 4 that we read. Both passages show us what resurrection practices look like in a communal context. They show us how the church lives together as it continues and amplifies the ministry of Jesus. Through the centuries, Christians have debated whether or not these two passages prescribe how the church should live. We will receive other snapshots of church life as we progress through Acts, though none quite match up to the glory of these two. These stand out as special, though they are not identical. He writes, one of my heroes, Clarence Jordan, attempted precisely that model in the radically integrated Koinonia farm he established in 1942 in Jim Crow, Georgia, as have countless others. I would suggest, he says, that we avoid reducing these snapshots to either of two poles, one a blueprint for daily living and the other just an idealistic fantasy. Both poles take the stories too literally, but not seriously enough. We should take seriously the details of these accounts as signs for our own churchly imaginations. So as I was saying earlier, it's not about taking this literally or this looking at this idealized community as, is this really how this community lived exactly? It's more about the idea behind what is going on. They are spending time as a community in the temple, breaking bread together, making sure the needy in their community have what they need. Whether that is, whether that involves actually selling all your possessions and sharing everything in common, not necessarily. Obviously, there have been many experiments with those kinds of communities, some more successful than others. The point is that this community is taking the gifts of the Spirit that they have been given in Jesus's absence, and using those gifts to not only continue Jesus's ministry, but as the commentator says, to amplify it. So in Acts 2, it says the apostles were performing many signs, and they've created this community around which they tell the story of the resurrected Jesus, and a community has formed. They continue Jesus's work, and that is this picture that we get of what a church should look like. Do you have to take this as a blueprint and do it exactly? Well, no. But is your community gathering together in prayer, in Bible study, in worship? This says in the temple, but in whatever place of worship that you gather, that can be in someone's home. That can be, you know, during Bible study, whatever. Is your community breaking bread together, both as a community around the altar rail or however you do communion? Is your community eating together, you know, whether as a whole community, whether as smaller parts of that community? Is your community looking to ensure that not only the community as, you know, your church family, but your community in terms of your city, your state, your country, the world is being taken care of, that the needy are being taken care of, that everyone has enough? And this is really this snapshot that we get. Jesus came to be a different kind of Messiah, one that was unexpected. And the surprise of the surprise that the Messiah was crucified, very unexpected, but then the surprise of that empty tomb. And this was not what people were expecting for the Messiah to be, but it's exactly who the Messiah was, because Jesus spent his ministry doing exactly these things in the temple: teaching, preaching, healing, spending time in community, eating with people, people who were considered vastly inappropriate to eat with, and making sure that the needs of others were taken care of. So Acts gives us this, not only the resurrection account of a new church a new church after the resurrection, but what that church should look like and what our churches could look like if we are willing to use this as an example, not to recreate it exactly necessarily, because every community is different and every community has to find its own place and way in the world. But that's what I take from this text. We're going to turn now to the psalm that is assigned for this Sunday. That is Psalm 133. And those verses are as follows. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. That is Psalm 133. It's only three verses, so very brief. And we are going to talk about that psalm, but we are first going to take our second break of the podcast. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are looking at the text, the first two of four assigned texts for April 8th, the second Sunday of Easter. And before the break, I had just read Psalm 133, a whopping three verses. But it is easy to see why Psalm 133 was chosen to accompany the Acts text, because again, it starts out with this idea of unity, how good it is when people live in unity. Like I said, it's easy to see why that is paired with the Acts text. The commentary that I looked at for this week comes from Shauna Hannon, who is the Associate Professor of Homiletics at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California. And she says, "Behold, a psalm that oozes with hopefulness even in the face of perceived impossibilities." She says, "The unity this psalm calls for is between Democrats and Republicans. Impossible? It is between Christians and Muslims. Impossible? It is between Palestinians and Israelis. Impossible? Behold, how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in full harmony. The primary proclamation of this psalm is that full harmony is possible because the source flows from on high." So in the Acts text, we were talking about a very specific community. We were talking about this post-resurrection community, this brand new church that is forming around the apostles and their testimony of the risen Christ, around them continuing Jesus's ministry of, as that commentary said, amplifying Jesus's ministry. But this psalm is, of course, it's, you know, the psalm. Psalms were written much, much earlier than than Acts, which is in the New Testament. And so it is referring to a different community. It's referring to full harmony, even amongst people that you would think might never be able to get along, between polarized people who seem to be so vastly different in their beliefs that full unity isn't possible. And yet that's what this psalm is talking about. She says that full harmony seems so unlikely that the psalmist has to turn to a series of similes in order to describe it. Both similes emphasize the abundance that accompanies unity. First, unity is like oil. It's not just any oil, but precious oil. She says the Hebrew word for precious is the same word translated as good in verse 1. Whether this is the oil used to anoint a high priest in a liturgical act or the oil ritually used on guests as a sign of hospitality, the point is abundance. She says, we're not talking here about the little dab of oil on the finger of the pastor making the sign of the cross on the forehead of the newly baptized. No, this anointing is extravagant. There is so much oil used that it runs down onto the beard of the anointed one, Aaron, whose beard ran down to the hem of his robe. That is a lot of oil. It is extravagant. Messy? Probably. So might unity be between divided peoples. So there's extravagant messiness involved in the unity of divided peoples. You can imagine the messiness, maybe not the extravagance so much, but that's what we're getting in this psalm. She says that oil is not the only thing running down. The second simile likens unity to the dew that runs down from Mount Hermon in order to quench the thirsty land. Extravagantly, once again, the dew runs down from Mount Hermon all the way to Zion. Impossible? Probably, since they are hundreds of miles apart. Even so, as Grogan states, the linking of Hermon and Zion means that for Israel, no limit was being set to the need for harmony. No limit was being set. This is no holds bar, no limits unity that is extravagant. It is maybe seemingly impossible, and yet we are told that nothing is impossible with God, right? The commentary continues, no limit suggests that all have the potential to be considered kindred. There has been some disagreement over the reference to kindred. Is it literally and only blood siblings, extended family? Is it those whom God has brought together? Is it those who profess belief in God? Ultimately, the psalm suggests there are no boundaries to kindred. The psalmist proclaims the hopefulness of the harmonious living of the northern kingdom, which was Judah, and the southern kingdom of Israel, two lands turned into one people. Water has no bias, and hosts anointing guests with oil before a meal extends hospitality beyond borders. Both liquids flowing in this psalm, water and oil, spread beyond their points of origin. Living together in full harmony is good and pleasant because it is no longer scarce. It is limitless. It spreads beyond its point of origin. I began with listing, she says, a few prominent limits of harmony in the news today that inevitably are challenged by this psalm. I imagine that we could think of many, many others, right? There's so many examples of us and them in the world, of groups of people that seem so far divided that they can never live together in unity. They can never come together as kindred. She mentioned at the beginning the Palestinians and the Israelis, and that conflict goes back so many years and has grown so huge and complicated through the not decades, it is centuries, it is millennia. It is so far back, this conflict that has been happening, that to even pick it apart and understand it seems like an almost impossible task. And yet, living together in unity, this psalm is saying it is possible. So she continues to say, not to be missed in this psalm are both the liturgical elements and the movement. The oil itself signifies the liturgical act of anointing. And then she says the movement outward, the abundant and extravagant movement outward, is also not to be missed. So good and pleasant things do not simply flow within neat boundaries. She says unity is on the move. So you get this just extravagant, moving unity. It's not contained. It's not just a little dab of oil. This is extravagance. This is breaking of boundaries. This is amazing. And really amazing, considering that this psalm is only three verses. The fact that it encompasses so much and gives us this amazing image, or this amazing view of community. We have two snapshots, if you will, of community in the text that we are reading and we've talked about for this episode. One that focuses on a very specific community of that early church, but which could also be described in terms of, you know, that community could be described in terms of this psalm community where, you know, there is the extravagant, there is the spreading outward, because that church was beginning to grow, it was beginning to break through boundaries, etc. But this psalm is just amazing, and I love this commentary that is written just with the extravagance and the beauty that we see in this psalm and the hope that we see in this psalm, that we can break through those boundaries, we can push past those disagreements if we are fully reliant on God, on the promises of God, on the gifts that God has given, the love that God has given. If we treat everyone with the love that God has first given us, then nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So lots and lots about community in today's readings. And we're going to continue on Wednesday, as I said, by reading the second of the four assigned texts. And so we'll be reading the New Testament text as well as the Doubting Thomas story, which, as I said, we read every second Sunday of Easter. And so we'll be talking about that on Tuesday. I hope you will join me for that. In the meantime, as I always tell you, you can find all of the GSMC podcasts on the GSMC Podcast Network, and that's www.gsmcpodcast.com. We have over 20 shows, and I'm sure there's other things that you might be interested in, so you should definitely check those out. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, any app that you use for your mobile device. Just type in GSMC and you will be able to find all of our podcasts. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Would love to interact with you out in the social media world. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Please join me again on Wednesday. We'll be concluding the readings assigned for this week of April 8th, the second Sunday of Easter. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday, a wonderful beginning to your week. Please do remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.